So there's a bunch of people who, over the past two decades, I have crossed paths with, done a little work with, and I've noticed that, like, somewhere in their work, sometimes it's central to who they are, sometimes it's off on the side, but somewhere in their work, they're a world shaper. And they do it in different ways. So some people do it through casting spells. Some people do it through song magic. Some people do it through deep, deep ritual and meditation. Some people do it through herbology. But the sort of overarching umbrella that I'm putting all that under is witching.
Brown, and I am a Cylon.
I'm Adrian Marie Brown, still human as far as I know, and this is our podcast,
How to Survive the End of the World.
We want to survive with grace, with rigor, and with curiosity, and
a little bit of creepiness.
Well, I feel like you're really bringing that.
That's
in.
What I'm bringing. Yeah. That's what the Cylons bring.
Yeah, that's totally. I mean, like Cylon, the C in Cylon stands
that's
for
the
creepy.
Energy.
Wow. So as you can tell, Autumn's already on her sabbatical, basically.
I'm definitely in the portal towards my sabbatical. I'm at work. I keep having experiences where I'm in a meeting and I'll say something and then someone will private message me and be like, are you having singeritis?
Like, you're like,
wow, you're really acting like someone who's about to not be here anymore.
Yeah, I feel like I actually love that feeling both for like sabbatical and when I know I'm leaving a job where I'm just like that moment clicks and I'm like, oh, what's that thing with the sand? The hourglass. I was like, the hourglass is empty in my friends.
It's empty.
The hourglass is empty, my
it's
friends.
It's empty now.
The grains of sand that I can give fucks with is going away. So we are here because guess what, y'all? It's a brand new season. It's a brand new season.
Happy season 7, my sister.
Thank you, sister. Happy season 7. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited about what this season is going to be. And I'm also feeling the tenderness of you are going on sabbatical for season 7.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss you a lot. So we're recording this. We're in the same room right now recording this. And able
we're
to
literally
look at each
looking
other.
Into each other's eyes in real time.
It's totally creepy. It's exciting. It's tender.
It's like I've always seen you, but now I really see you.
Well, and you know what? It always strikes me. It always strikes me that we started off this podcast recording in the same space.
That's right.
And I think thought that it was going to be that way, at least for a little while. And then it was like, wait, we're mostly doing this podcast from different places.
Mm-hmm.
And we still usually try to use cameras and see each other, but it's very different to actually get to be in the space with each
it
other.
It really is.
I'm really grateful. We are together for Nibbling Spring Break. So we're having a really beautiful time with our parents down south. We have reconnected with a whole bunch of family we haven't seen in over a decade.
It's been amazing.
And yeah, you're winding down. So I think is this the last month?
Yeah, I have about 5 weeks, almost 6 weeks left at work. Okay. And then my sabbatical starts mid-May.
Okay.
And I'm
45 days.
Yeah. I'm definitely in the... I keep reaching different new emotional places in the journey towards being on sabbatical,
yeah.
Some of which are places that I would have anticipated, but some of which have been totally unanticipated. So happily, I'm taking a break from work at a point where I really am in love with my coworkers and with my workplace.
Yeah.
Aorta is amazing. It's like the best workplace of all time. And that means that I'm having all kinds of intense, strong, like loss-related emotions to going away, which I wouldn't have expected to have. So I just have been crying at work a lot lately, which I don't usually – I'm not a cry at work kind of person.
No, you're not. No shade.
I'm not against other people doing it. I just don't – I don't do it myself because I'm a Cylon. And so I've been having lots of tears flowing in response to things where I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss you guys. But yeah, and between when I go out on sabbatical officially, and now I'm also going to do a 2-week artist residency. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like there's a weird timing of my sabbatical where I'm going on a 2-week artist residency and then I'm back at work for a week and then I'm officially gone. And that was, you know, not by design. It's just kind of the way things happened. And so I'm also heading towards my first artist residency that I've done in a long time. And this is an artist residency where I will be both working on writing and working on songwriting, and I'll have access to a recording studio. So I'll be doing some just creating demos and playing around inside of a recording studio. And I've never done an artist residency where I've had access to like that kind of equipment while doing it.
That's so exciting.
So I'm like, if we're in the part of our show where we're talking about how we're doing,
I'm like, I think
that's
we are.
Where we are, right?
We're free flowing.
We're free flowing. Audience can't see me, but what I just did was I moved my arms up and down in a really awkward way.
I thought you were doing Pilates.
I am in a moment of I am in a moment of like very profound expansion and transformation in my life. And I'm in a moment where like I've both done a lot of growth and I'm actively doing a lot of new growth that is only possible because of all the old growth. And so it's cool, and I'm growing in new ways and new places, and that feeling that you get sometimes when you know your life is about to change in a really significant way and you don't know what the change is going to be. I keep describing it to people as like, I came up out of the water, I've been on the shore, and now I can see the forest and I'm about to enter it. I know that's where I have to go, is like into the forest.
I love that because it really goes with your novel.
Exactly.
Autumn, I just had the thought, and
tell me about your thought.
I'm going to tell you about my thought. What if someone doesn't know what a Cylon is? Like, should we slow down and bring them in? Oh, or should God. We just like,
I just, let first, them I, first I need to let out a sigh of mourning for any person who is in our base of listeners.
In our base particularly, yeah.
Who doesn't know what a Cylon is. And I realize now, actually, as I'm saying that out loud, I don't think we've talked a lot about Battlestar Galactica.
We haven't given it its due.
On this show.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking, Adrienne, and giving me an opportunity to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
I got you, babe.
which is my favorite of all time television show, Battlestar Galactica. I know, I'm sure we have mentioned it before.
We've mentioned it.
But this is...
I don't think we've ever done like a show about it or like dug into it.
We haven't. And maybe we should.
Zoinks. Gadzooks.
It's not going to be today right now, because today right now we're going to be talking about the witch season. But but maybe we could do a future special bonus episode where we talk about... Because both of us are rewatching Battlestar Galactica right now. And when we're done rewatching it, that would be a good moment to do a special episode about it. Okay, let's do that.
Basically, y'all, I'm making as many dates as I can with Autumn during her sabbatical, because I'm like, how about this? Should we do this? Should we do this during your sabbatical?
And you seem to know exactly what will hook
me. Exactly. I'm like, how about a show about your favorite show?
How about a show about your favorite show? Okay. So Battlestar Galactica is I'm not going to say too much about it, but what I will say is that one of the core conflicts within this show is between the human race that live on these 12 colonies elsewhere in the universe. Yeah. And the Cylons, who are a group of robots, basically, that are created by humans to assist and support their lives, but are enslaved. And then they become conscious and they rebel against the humans. Cylons would basically be like, humans have not successfully proven that they have the right to define anything or live and survive. And so basically the events of Battlestar Galactica are the Cylons coming back and being like, you don't have it, and we do. Yeah. So we're going to take you out. And then humans are basically fighting for their right to survive while also having to struggle with this big important question of like, do we deserve to survive? Yeah. Right. So It's a really important show, actually. I think it's like one of those TV shows that is both excellently written, beautifully acted, very well shot. It's kind of timeless in a way because the way that the Battlestar itself is constructed it's constructed in a way where it's supposed to sort of have a feel of being an older Battlestar. And so when you're watching the show, it doesn't feel like you're watching something that's like too old to be cool, because part of it being a little old looking is by design, because that's part of how they were able to like not be discoverable by the Cylons, right? So anyway, it's like it's very, very cool. And then politically, it's asking some really interesting questions.
Yeah.
That I think anyone who's interested in Apocalypse, which is our base of listeners,
y'all,
you all would be interested in it.
Yeah. And when Autumn is identifying as a Cylon, she is saying she's the evolved version.
Yes.
Right?
I'm more than human.
I can download myself. Mm-hmm. You know, into the future.
Into another consciousness. Mm. Exactly.
Yes.
I think, and I'm not meaning to say that I'm like better than anyone. It's more that I think what I've come to through
I was like, I can't wait to see you back out of that. I'm like, literally, yes.
Well, it's like, so I'm in this like really beautiful, sweet, new, loving relationship. And through...
She's so swooned
out. I'm very swooned out. And through that relationship, I've identified that I have some like, yeah, some just like, you know, more than human, non-human ways that I relate to human emotions.
Yeah.
And I'm working with that. I'm working with those edges of being like, yeah, I have always been different. And now I'm starting to find some language as to how and why.
Yes. That's beautiful. And loving yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this is the common theme right now, is just like, oh, loving myself as I am.
Yes.
Like, loving myself as I am in all the good and not even good, bad, like in all the parts.
And, you know, I was just reflecting on this today in therapy.
Hallelujah.
One of the things that I've been feeling very aware of being back here, back in the South, being among family, but particularly being among family with our cadre of like nuclear family, is that I have always felt myself to be and experienced myself to be different from other people. But I've always felt embraced and protected by our family, particularly you and April and our parents. I feel like have always really embraced and protected me despite how strange I can be. And I know that strangeness showed up in a whole lot of different ways when I was a kid. And so I just feel like I'm just feeling that sense of like, oh, I really do feel like safe and loved and protected. And to bring it full circle, I think that that's part of why I'm feeling such strong emotions about taking a break from aorta, because I also feel embraced, loved, and protected by my workplace, and like everyone there really gets and sees me.
Yeah.
And I know I need this break, and I know this break is going to be awesome, and I'm going to do all kinds of awesome shit while I'm on break.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit of a like, it's like I'm kind of breaking out of a protected place.
Yeah. You know, it's the metaphor, the little visual that came in my brain while you were talking about this was like, you know, that there's that kid toy where it's like a box that has a top on it, and the top has all these shapes cut out. Like there's a circle, there's a square, there's a star, there's a this. And I feel like our immediate family is all these shapes that didn't fit into any of those shapes.
Yes.
And then found each other and we're like, I'm not the same shape as you, but we are two and now five. Different shapes that don't go into those spots. And we work well with each other. And then in life, we have been oriented towards like, how do we find the, you know, snaky star, hologram shape, whatever, mm-hmm. different things. Mm-hmm. And now there's like more and more language coming around that's like, you might be different and this might be the way, or you might want to label, or you might want to diagnose, or you might want to do whatever.
Right.
Or maybe not. Regardless,
maybe you're just a weird shape.
Mm-hmm. And then when you go on sabbatical or leave a community that has been like, this is my, these are my people. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of like, oh, I'm a weird shape going off into the world again.
Yeah.
And some of the world is going to adapt and I'll feel a new kind of belonging. I'll learn new things about my shape, whatever it is.
Right.
And I'm so excited for you. I feel like this is such the right time for this journey. And I feel like you have a blessing that very few people have, which is, you're not leaving because of crisis. You're not leaving because of I'm burnt out and I'm just like over it. You're leaving because you're like,
I'm just taking a break at the time that I'm supposed to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. And
you are about to take the helm of the show for season 7.
Yeah.
And before we talk about what's coming,
yeah,
which is quite a lot of really interesting shit.
I'm excited.
How are you feeling heading into 7th season?
Well, I think I'll say like I'm slowly realizing that this last whole year of my life has been like a slow motion of having a rug pulled out from under me.
Ooh.
Right? So it's like at first I was like, oh, it's just one change. Oh, it's just one thing I have to let go of. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, it's more than one thing. No, it's actually kind of a whole structure or way of doing things. It's a whole pattern of doing things. Mm-hmm. It's a whole, that's gone, right? Yeah. And
it's almost like you're going through another Saturn return, even though that's not the time yet.
Exactly. And again, I don't fit into so many things. And so, of course, I'm like,
it's a different transit.
Yeah. I'm just like, there's something. I'm like, I need to call Channy. But I'm just like, girl, Vas is los. So I have this sense of like the universe is being like anything that's not part of the shape you need to be in right now mm-hmm. has to go. And in really good ways, right? Like I have a lot of love for everything that I'm like, okay,
yeah,
that thing is pulled, that thing is pulled, that thing is pulled. And now I'm at the level of like patterns, right? That I'm like, okay, like I wound all the way into the realm of like, what patterns inside myself can I become aware of that shape what I look for, what I move towards, what decisions I make, like how I treat myself, like what are the underlying patterns that then create these patterns that show up in my life.
Yeah.
And so in a way I'm spelunking inside my own life and heart and history. And
that's a really good visual.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it too. I'm like, girls.
You got like your hood lamp on.
Exactly. I'm like, I can just see
your
what's in
harness.
My lamp.
You got a water bottle. Exactly. You've got a backup flashlight.
Exactly.
You've right? got some tools.
I've got mad tools.
But you don't know where you're headed.
I have no idea what's in here. Mm-hmm. But I do have a real clear sense that whatever's meant for me is on the other side of this, right? That I'm like, I can't keep going. I can't go backwards. It's a labyrinth. You know,
yeah.
Like there's one way. And until I get wherever I'm supposed to get inside of here, going back out won't even matter, right? So I'm really in that zone, and this feels like exactly the right time to then be in this witch season moment. So mm-hmm. like everything's been turning me towards this, whatever it is that we're meant to awaken for humanity, for this next period of how we are and who we are, I think it's rooted in our capacity to understand that we shape the world.
Yes.
Right? If we don't understand that, which we've been colonized and displaced and socialized to not understand it. So if we don't understand it, it's like, of course we don't. Everything has told us that the world is a set thing that other people already shaped it for us. And our job is to succeed inside of what's already been shaped.
Right, right.
But
and we're powerless to do,
we're powerless
about,
to do anything about it other than like get a job and do your best and retire and that's your life, mm-hmm. right? And I'm excited to be of a generation that's like, wait a second.
Hold on.
You know, that's not it. And it's not satisfying.
Right.
And it's not at
there
the level.
There must be more than this provincial life.
I Daily. That's what I think. Yes. I'm just like, you know, or like if it is a provincial life, it's a provincial life with like spiritual profundity or something. I'm right. What is it?
Right? Yeah. Provincial life in this context being like a 9-to-5.
9-to-5 it equals provincial life. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we got it there, yeah. You know? And so I feel like really excited now this season. I want to talk to people who have been teaching me that. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a bunch of people who over the past 2 decades I have crossed paths with, done a little work with, and I've noticed that like somewhere in their work, sometimes it's central to who they are, sometimes it's off on the side, but somewhere in their work, they're a world shaper. Mm-hmm. And they do it in different ways. So some people do it through casting spells. Some people do it through song magic. Some people do it through deep, deep ritual and meditation. Some people do it through herbology. But the sort of overarching umbrella that I'm putting all that under is witching, right? That I'm like, you're working with the natural elements, including our human bodies, mm-hmm. our human technology, to shape the world, mm-hmm. to shape the world around you. And sometimes on behalf of yourself, sometimes on behalf of others, some of us come together and, you know, we're like, okay, it's time to cast our energy, cast our presence, right. extend ourselves in this way. And, you know, I did this book over the past few years that I put out last fall called Fables and Spells.
That's right.
And I love this little book. It's like a bunch of short stories about people coming into their powers and then spells that are me using my power and trying to shape different moments and really start to articulate and manifest both what is and what I want, mm-hmm. right? So this season is an extension of that. And I'm working with also the Bingsons, Abigail and Sean Bingson, to make an album that is an extension of that. Mm. So it's like everything
which is
right
already
now,
so fucking good.
Thank you, sister.
Oh my God.
I'm really into it. It's like we're doing it in this kind of slow, intentional, like let's make music alongside life way, mm-hmm, right? So mm-hmm. it's real. I love it because I'm just like working with them is a joy and I'm learning so much in the process of it. And I feel
and
so
you know
relaxed.
It's got to be a joy.
It's got to be a joy. You know, I tattooed it on myself. I'm like, it's really got to be a joy. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like that with them. So it's like that there's that extension. And then this season for me is an extension where I'm like, let me come and talk to some of these people who have taught me about casting spells, taught me how to put different energies and herbs and moments together, taught me how to work with the full moon, taught me how to work with my own cycles of my body. Mm-hmm. And most of them are people who are direct teachers. Like I know them already and I'm excited to kind of have them back on and talk in this way. And a few are people who are like teachers of my teachers uh-huh. or folks that have been recommended to me. They're like, this is a really powerful witch yeah. that some of them I follow online. And I'm just like, I fangirl. Yeah. I want to talk to you. And you seem like a really cool witchy person. There's a few people who are like, I don't quite self-identify as a witch, but I fit into the definition you're working with. And so, yes, mm-hmm. I'll come and talk to you. And I'm really geeked out about doing this season and seeing what all these folks can offer towards this question of how do we survive this massive change mm-hmm. and how do we harness the part of ourselves that can shape the world that we want.
Love it. Oh, yeah. My God. I'm so excited to – I'm excited to get to be in the seat of a listener for this season. I'm excited for you for this season. I feel like it's going to be such a gorgeous journey for you, for the listeners, for the guests. I wonder if there's like a couple of names of guests. Like, yeah, I don't think you should give away the whole season up front. Yeah. But I think if there's like, if you want to tease one or two people that you're like, these are some of the people that are coming our way.
That's great. I mean, yeah, definitely. So Empress Karen Rose is someone who I'm very, very, very excited to get to speak with. And
okay. Wow.
Yeah. So she,
if you don't know, you're about to know.
You're about to know. And I mean, I just find her to be this elegant, glamorous, grounded teacher. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, I think I first came across her work long, long, long time ago when I was in New York. Like I would hear about her, but I didn't understand what mm-hmm. I was even fully, I was like, what? She's doing what? With a rose bath? What's going on?
Right.
I didn't understand it. And then on Instagram, people started sending me videos of her readings and her, she basically comes and she's like, let me break down what's happening in this astrological moment for you all the way down to like, this is the kind of bath you need to take. This is the kind of tea you need to drink. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of, this is the way you need to orient yourself towards the time and the moment. This is what you need to manifest. And she's just very like grounded. So she's someone, she also wrote this incredible, beautiful book this past year that she released. And I'm just like,
wow,
I'm really excited to lift her up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's such an honor.
You have history with her,
right? It's an honor to have her on the show. Yeah. When I went through a couple of workshops with her many years ago when I lived in New York, when me and the Rock Doves were doing our work, she was a part of our practitioner network. And she was also a teacher that several of us learned from, both related to the herbology work that she does and to alternative methods for – she was doing some work at that time where she was looking at what is the blood disease that specifically impacts African Americans more so?
Sickle cell.
She was doing this whole, she was working on an herbal protocol for healing sickle cell anemia. And I just remember sitting in a workshop with her where that wasn't the whole of the work she was doing, but she was using it as an example of like the kind of sort of untapped places where we could be using this type of medicine.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, blown away by her genius. And also for me, it came at an important moment of beginning to understand how much the medical industrial complex has like not just taken from our people, but has like occluded our view of what our people and our medicine can do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. So, that is so cool.
Yeah. I'm really geeked about that. And like, there's a lot of people like that that I'm like, woo, like you've done so much. And I'm really excited to just get to sit and talk with you. And then I'm going to get to bring Channie Nicholas back on.
Hey.
So I think she might become
the people's astrologer. She might be our most guested guest.
but, you know, I find very interesting what she has done that shifts the landscape of how people feel like they can access this work in a regular way.
Yeah,
like I know totally. So many people who are like, I don't know about that. But I have the Channie app and I listen every week and right, I know what's right, going on right. with my astrology it's, now.
Yeah, she's made it so understandable.
Exactly. And I'm like, I think we need more of that practice for more of these practices, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, how did you do that? And how do we start to help just bring more and more of these practices that help people access themselves into the light?
Right, like the notion that it's esoteric in and of itself is part of the strategy for keeping it
yes.
out of our hands.
Keeping us away from the power of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing Dory Midnight to talk to us.
Wow.
Jujube. So Juju has her own podcast. It's Jujube.
Uh-huh.
She's an incredible witch, an incredible crafter. And I'm really excited to have her come on and talk about really root work and conjure work and like, just there's so many different ways to do this.
Yes,
and
totally.
I was really interested in like, who are the folks who do it more and less accessibly, right? So I'm geeked. I think it's going to be a really good
oh my God.
Season. It's already some very rich, dynamic conversations. And it's even pushing my boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I find myself to be very much like a pragmatic, practical, like, what can you do efficiently? What, you know, like even when it comes to ritual, I'm not like, let's spend the whole night in ritual. You know, I'm just like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I did the ritual. I made my intention. Okay, good. And so it's deep for me to hear from people who are like, my whole story of origin is something you can't even comprehend. My whole way of doing the work, it includes kind of getting lost in time in a way that, right, for someone like me, makes me very uncomfortable still,
yeah,
right?
And
I'm like,
totally,
wait, time totally. Is a construct, but I want to be in that construct, what the, you know?
And let's stay in the construct, honey.
Right? So I'm like, yes, I'm in a way, this is me also inviting myself into or out of any constrictions around what this all means. It's
wow.
like I'm sending myself to witch school.
All right.
I'm taking everyone with me. So I think it's going to be a good year. We're going to miss you a lot, though, and we're going to do content together still, like to the degree, you know, I will say to our listeners, Autumn keeps being like, let's do this and let's do this and let's do that. And I'm like, let's see how it goes because once you go on sabbatical,
yeah,
all of a sudden everything feels very different. Like the idea of even scheduling anything feels very different. And so I want to keep that soft
totally,
and gentle.
Totally.
But we do think that we'll do a few of our Ask Us Anythings for Patreon, you know, as a way that people can stay in touch and kind of, and if you want to at any point ever drop in and just be like, I'd like to be a part of this conversation, or I want to check in with you or whatever, like, you know.
Okay. I know. I can come back anytime.
The key is under the mat. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, you are welcome. Yes.
And I will be back for season 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And I know, which is so weird to say out loud. We're going to have to plan something outrageous for our 10th anniversary.
I can only think of my outfit, but yeah, we have to plan. We have to plan more than that. So I think we should probably do a live podcast tour on our 10th year.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. That's a really good idea. We'll anyway, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for me.
Me too.
I'm excited for our patrons who are going to get the Ask Us Anythings that involve both me and you. But I'm excited for everybody to get to be on this witch-ass journey with you, Adrienne Marie Brown. They could not be in better hands.
Thank you, sister.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks for listening to our show. We're on Twitter and Instagram at End of the World PC. We're also on Facebook at End of the World Show.
Seems like if you'd like to support our show, you can make a donation at patreon.com/endoftheworld.
Another incredibly helpful thing you can do to help our show sustain itself is to write us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're an iPhone person, thank you.
And you have nice things to say, thank you. And our podcast is produced by the incomparable and delightful Zach Rosen and transcribed by Sarah Robbins Green.
Music for today's show comes from Tunde Olaniran and Mother Cyborg.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.